The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is The Dating Show, and I am talking with the lovely Pete Wicks.
How are you, Cece?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all the better for seeing you. You look fabulous today in your little bandana.
Thank you. I've gone for the nice girl act because sometimes I don't feel like a nice girl, but today...
Yeah. Last week we were talking about dogging. This week you're trying to be angelic. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, see? As if I thought about it.
I like it. This is going to be a good one this week. I'm excited about it.
Oh, so, Pete, I've just looked there. We're not matching this week. This upsets me. Did we not discuss this properly? I thought we were going to go for a white theme.
Oh.
But you still look... You look quite trendy. I guess you've just stuck to the brief. I've just gone off, haven't I?
And yeah, I'll be honest with you, babe. Yeah, you've gone off a little bit. You've kind of done your own thing, which you know, disappoints me. But, you know, we'll move on.
I'm running away with the poppies. That's how I feel today. In my head, I've run away with the poppies.
No, you look fabulous, honestly. That bandana's mustard.
Thank you. It is mustard, yes.
See, well done.
What are we going to be talking about this week, then?
This week, the topic is going to be single life. Effectively, being single, something I know a lot about, something you don't anymore.
I don't know. Poor me.
I know. Poor you in a relationship.
Oh, it's so hard.
Must be horrible for you. Oh,
yeah, every day I've got someone. I know. It's really bad. I do love being single. I did enjoy my time as a singleton. There's not a... What are you drinking?
Apple juice.
That's a chunky glass of apple, isn't it?
Just really like apples, bud. I'm feeling fruity, which I think is going to be appropriate for today's guest. But before we get onto the guest, we're going to do dating news from this week because it's been an interesting week.
Oh, I mean, if you don't mind, I'm just going to skip because there's one that I'd really quite like to bring up because this is a bit of me, I think. Have you, you must know the terminology like breadcrumbing, ghosting, what is it? There's another
ghosting
one.
Ghosting, I do. What's breadcrumbing?
Breadcrumbing is when you, it's like feeding the pigeon. So actually that sounds really bad, but anyway, it's like when you put, even though you shouldn't feed pigeons bread because they die, don't they?
Do they?
Yes.
Also, pigeons carry a form of chlamydia, but carry on.
Well, look at us. We should be doctors.
Pigeon knowledge.
So breadcrumbing is when you give someone a little bit to keep them hanging on. So say you're seeing someone and you don't quite want to let her go. So you just give her a little bit of a breadcrumb, like a text message, be like, hey, babe. So she's like, oh, my God, Pete still loves me. And really, you're just keeping her on because you're deciding what to do.
Interesting.
The reason I was talking about breadcrumbing is because there is a new one called roaching, which I just love the word. So roaching is when you get a new partner and they hide the fact that they are still sleeping with other people. So it's like you've met a girl. Okay, actually, let's rephrase this. How long before you, Pete, get to the point where it's exclusive?
Okay. You know what? I don't think it's a time thing. I think it's based on how much you like the person.
Mm.
Because I've seen people for a long time and it's never been exclusive. And then I've seen people that I really like and I haven't wanted to go elsewhere, which has made it exclusive without having the conversation because they're the only person I'm interested in. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I don't think it's a time thing.
Do they know that it's not exclusive?
I mean, if they ask.
Ah, this is where you get us. This is where you get us girls. So we presume, because we like to live in that world, and we presume that it's exclusive. I don't even like that word. If someone said, are we exclusive? I think, what are you on about? Of course we are. Like, to me, if you're with someone, you're with someone.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's when you're with someone. So if you go on 3 dates with someone,
yeah,
are you exclusive?
I see what you're saying now about if you like that person. For me, I probably, yeah, because I...
You're on multiple dates, huh?
Well, if they're getting a third date, it means I like them. So it just means that I'm already there. Like, there's no point in me seeing other people.
So when do you bring up that conversation? Do you bring up the conversation? How do you bring it up? And what do you say?
Oh, God.
Can answer them questions in any order.
I would just probably try and bring it up casually. Like, not put them on
casually,
the
casually? I'm not sleeping with anyone else, are you?
Yeah, just like that. And give them like the eyeball. Like, it's really about the eyeball, how much you eyeball them, then they know how serious you are. No, I'd probably, yeah, just try quite casually. I'd say, you know, obviously, look, I'm not seeing other people, just checking in. Is that where we're at now? And then hopefully they say they're not.
And if they say they are, then what?
Oh, I'd cover it up really well and go...
Yeah, me too. Yeah, okay. Me too.
How many? I'd probably be quite mature about it now and just say, look, if this is how it is, I'm not up for this. You know, obviously, yeah, I wouldn't. No, I no way couldn't do it. Couldn't be with someone knowing there was somebody else. No.
So they called it roaching then. Where does that come from?
So roaching comes from the theory that when you see a cockroach, there's more cockroaches than you don't see. Someone's clearly just made this up, haven't they? And gone like, do you know what that would do? Like the term, but I think it doesn't really label people very well, does it?
No, I think it's just people like to label everything, don't they? So as far as I'm concerned, if you're seeing someone, being exclusive is not necessarily about a conversation. I think when you like someone enough, you automatically become exclusive. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing if you are dating multiple people, provided that you're honest about that. So roaching, I think the bad thing behind roaching is the fact that it's people that are dating multiple people but are not telling people they're dating multiple people. If someone knows all the facts, so if you're dating someone and then you know that they're dating other people, it's your choice whether you carry on seeing them. If you think that they're exclusive and they're not and they are dating other people, then that's when people get hurt.
So when would you have that conversation?
Whenever they wanted to have the conversation.
So it would come from them, not you?
Well, yeah, unless it got to the point where I felt like I needed to have the conversation. If I was exclusive with someone, I think, I don't know, because it's hard, isn't it? If I really liked someone and wasn't dating other people, as far as I'm concerned, ignorance is bliss sometimes, and I probably wouldn't want to have the conversation. I would just assume that they were in the same boat as me, which is probably the wrong thing to do, but I would just assume that they was in the same boat. And if I found out they weren't, there's not really much I could say about it. When you have a conversation about being exclusive and then people don't stick to that, that's when it becomes cheating.
Okay, I like that.
It's all about the honesty side of things, isn't it? If you are sleeping around and someone asks you, say yes, because that's what you're doing. At least they've got an opportunity then to decide what they want to do about that. Yeah. If you lie about it, then that's when, again, it's not a very good foundation for moving forward, is it, when you become a liar? That's what a friend told me. Obviously, it's not something I've ever done.
Should we move on?
We move on from that. So the next bit of dating news was a man who was left horrified after his boss points out awkward Zoom name during job interview. Now, Zoom names... Everyone's spending their lives on Zoom at the minute. My name, as you can see, is just Pete Wicks. Yours, CC Coleman. We've gone very basic, haven't we, babe?
Yeah.
Basic
name. Keeping it clean.
Says what it does on the tin. This guy went to a job interview on Zoom and he set his name on Zoom as Big Daddy.
Oi, oi.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
How would you feel? Well, I wonder what it could be. If we had a guest on, let's say, you know, we interview people on this show and they came up with an interesting Zoom name like Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Would you say something?
Well, because I do my Zoom fitness classes, one of the, I get new people, new members, and one of the new members had come on and I don't even know if I can use this word, their name was You're All C-U-N-T's. That is really bad because I'm trying to act professional. Everyone else can see it. So I just remove them from the group. But what happens is when you remove someone, you actually permanently remove them. So they paid for membership and couldn't get back in. So I think you kind of got to be a bit careful, especially if you're going for a job interview. I mean, come on, check that stuff. That says a lot about the person that they're not, what's the word? When you're kind of like a stickler for getting things right.
Detail, an eye for detail.
Yeah, clearly he's not that person. So God knows what job he was going for. But...
Or he thought it would impress them.
Would you do that?
Next week I may come on to this record and call myself Big Dick Pete or something. Pete the Meat.
Pete, oh, that's gross. Pete the Meat, has anyone ever said that to you?
No, sadly. Would that impress you, CC, if I came on as Pete the Meat?
Oh, I'd be like, oh, Pete, oh, go on, you lad, Pete the Meat.
The way you're talking there says to me that you're slightly cringing. And funny enough, the man the lady, says that she's suffering from post-traumatic cringe and has yet to share whether he got the job.
Post-traumatic cringe?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I know, it's a good one. That I like that. I'm going to be using that one.
Wow, I like that. I mean, you could use anything, couldn't you? Post-traumatic hunger, post-traumatic, anything at all, I'm going to, that's done. You had another word as well. What was the word you said to me just before we started this? There was another brilliant word you used. I can't remember what it was. It was something.
Fucktard.
I know, fucktard. I knew it was.
Yeah, you just didn't want to say it, did you?
Yeah.
No, I see what you do here. What you basically do, what I've learned, right, now we're, 3 weeks in, is that you set me up for these things.
Drop you off.
We discuss things and then you just set me up. It's like, do you know what I mean? I throw them up, here I am, just batting them out of the park, and I'm the one that everyone thinks is a bad egg.
No, do you know, I stuck up for you last week, Pete. I promise I did. I did a little podcast. I said how great you were. I mean that. I did.
Yes. I mean, your mouth is telling me yes, your eyes are telling me no. But anyway, this week's topic is single. Being single, single life.
So what does that mean to you? How do you feel about
every day.
The word? Okay, every day. Is single single, like no one for you, or is single you, I'm not in a relationship, but having sexual partners? Not,
it's a bit of a tough one, really, because I've been single most of my life. I've only really, I would say, had one proper relationship and then lots of situationships and other things. And I don't mind being single because I would rather be single than be in a relationship that I wasn't fully in. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But being single, I think, is one of them things that, again, we mentioned it like another word last week, selfish. It's got a bit of a negative connotation, and people seem to use being single as a negative thing, especially when you get to sort of 30 plus.
Yeah.
Still single at 30 plus. Everyone moans about being single at 30 plus. Why haven't I found the one? Why am I still single? Why am I this? Why am I that? And I don't see why it is a bad thing, mm-hmm. as long as you're happy.
Do you feel any pressure or any, like with age or anything, has it got more challenging that being single, as in you're not old at all, of course, but you know, we hit 30, it's like, shit. So
I think it's a social pressure, isn't it? It's a social pressure for people when they hit 30 to think, shit, everyone else has got their lives together and I'm still single. But we sort of judge people based on them having their lives together, based on the fact whether they're in a relationship and got kids and all that sort of stuff. You can have your life together and still be single. And I don't think it's a bad thing, the way people kind of look at being single. When you're younger, you want to be single. When you're sort of like in your 20s and all that, everyone thinks it's really fun. But as soon as you hit 30, suddenly you're not allowed to have fun anymore and you should settle down. It's like you've got to do that now. You've had your time now. Now it's time for you to settle down. Why?
Do you know what? It kind of surprises me that you are single, because you seem to know yourself. No, I know that you're not in a joke way, but you do know yourself very well. You're very switched on emotionally and emotionally intelligent. So you bring to the table a lot, not just, you know, you as a person and your visual, but you know your stuff and you know you. So it does surprise me that has sort of, you haven't found someone, because you're kind of coming as you and you seem very comfortable in your own skin. So
I'm always coming as me.
I took that the wrong way and you meant that in an instant way.
It didn't make it any better you saying I took that the wrong way.
But it does surprise me, because you do know yourself. So it's interesting that you haven't sort of met your match yet.
I think that's the thing. I think it depends on what people put pressure on themselves to not be single and don't actually enjoy being single, if that makes sense. And I think that's kind of the hardest thing. And it's definitely an age thing. I think when, like I said, when you're younger, being single is great and everyone wants to be single and they don't want to get tied down. And I don't want this. And then as soon as you get to and it is 30, people automatically suddenly want to do that, despite the fact they might not be ready to do that, despite the fact that it may not actually be what they want. It's what other people want and it's what they think society wants them to do.
Yeah.
And I think people then end up in relationships, settling for something because they feel like that's what they should be doing at that point in their life. And it goes back to a conversation I think we had previously in one of the previous shows about everyone running their own race.
Yeah.
Being too worried about the destination they're going to and not actually enjoying the journey they're on. And we all run our races differently and you all do it a different way. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So I don't mind being single. I would rather be single than be in an unhappy relationship.
Do you think you're ready now to settle?
I don't know. I think if I met the right person, I would be, yeah. But I think it's all about the person.
Yeah.
It's all about the person and whether or not you're willing to compromise a single life to share your life with someone else. And I think if that person makes you happy and benefits your life in a way where you can't imagine them not being in it, then of course, yeah, 100%, that makes you ready to do it. But I think it's a lot about working on yourself, and being single is a really good opportunity to work on yourself and the flaws that we all have and that everyone has. Being single gives you an opportunity to be alone and learn more about yourself. And that way, the more you learn about yourself, the more you can offer to someone else, because you know yourself as a person better. You can't rely on other people to give you something that you lack in yourself.
That's obviously where this, you know, where I'm getting this, that you know yourself very well then, because you have spent some time being single. So you do know yourself really well. Do you think that each partnership, situationship you've had, you've kind of upgraded, so you're like learning, okay, that didn't work, so let's move on to the next one, that, oh, okay, I'll take that from that, and then hopefully, you know, the next one will be...
I think in some way you do, because every situation, relationship, or anything that happens in your life, whether it be good, bad, mistakes that you make, you do try and learn from them, and you can take a positive out of everything if you really look hard enough.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you want to take a positive out of saying, because even bad experiences teach you things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it comes down to, it's that peace of mind and contentment knowing that you're doing things for the right reason. I think sometimes people end up in relationships, and I know a lot of people that are in relationships who shouldn't be in those relationships,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to work. And I know they're not going to work, and probably deep down they know they're not going to work. But the fear of being single again keeps them with someone.
Yeah.
And that is a really horrible position to be in.
Well, it's almost powerless, isn't it? It's taking your power away, because you're not choosing, you're not making decisions yourself. You're just falling. It's not sort of weak in some ways. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, well, just man up, woman up, whatever you want to say it, and move forward.
So for you, you're in a fairly newish relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So what is it that, and you're above 30, you don't look it, but you're above 30, similar to me. Did you feel pressure to be in a relationship, or what made this guy want you, or what made this guy change the way you look at things and make you think, do you know what, this is the guy that I would settle down with, and I don't want to be single anymore because this person?
I think, I guess kind of what I asked you earlier about each person being an upgrade, and that's not to say that any of my exes were horrible.
Exclusive.
No, they were. You know, I've dated absolute arseholes, and then there's been some lovely ones. But I have learned lessons from each one of them. And I guess I did put it out there into the universe, not like intentionally, didn't see it and go, today, you know, this is what I want from a guy. But in my head, I'm making things, you know, I'm like, this is what I want, because I've learned what I don't want. And this guy popped up, and he keeps showing up, as in he keeps just showing up in all the right ways. No, God, that sounds, no, like he just keeps knocking on my door.
Is he your boyfriend or a stalker?
No, I mean, like, he shows up, like the boy knows what to do. He turns up and he is just there, available, like open and intelligent and switched on. And I mean, in both ways, like he just shows up every time and presents himself. And I'm just amazed by it. I'm like, how are you so brilliant? Like, and I don't mean he's perfect, because nobody is perfect, but what he's shown me so far is incredible foundations for something beautiful in the future.
I think people, that's really beautiful, that's a really lovely, do you know, if I had a partner that spoke about me like that, I'd be happy. So shout out to Cece's fella, smashed it there, mate. You're obviously doing something well. I think when you say about upgrading and like I was talking about learning from your mistakes and all that sort of stuff, people always kind of, when they're single, they always talk about what they do want from a partner and what they're looking for. And I find it quite hard to know what I'm looking for, but I think I know what I don't want. And I think that's just as important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
Sometimes you don't know what you want until you found it.
Yeah.
But actually knowing what you don't want is just as important, really. But single life's good. I quite like single life. Freedom.
Yeah, I did. I do. I'm, you know, both good in a relationship, good single. I really enjoy my single life, and I really enjoy a relationship.
Well, we've got a really interesting guest today to talk about being single.
We have indeed. I don't even know how to intro, because she's just amazing. I'm gonna give a little bit so we know. So we have got the incredible Sunita. So she rose to fame in the 1980s after releasing a number of top 10 singles, including the iconic track So Macho, and has made her name in the UK TV industry ever since. She was currently single, but has had several relationships in the spotlight, and one of them was with Simon Cowell.
I also think that she was dating Brad Pitt at one point. So this is big.
Ooh, ooh, questions.
Yes,
let's go.
Who's got a bigger dick, Simon Cowell or Brad Pitt? Let's find out.
No day to ask. Hello. Oh, we can't see you, Sunita. There she is.
I've been here for ages. I didn't want anything to go wrong. How are you?
Fabulous. Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. You guys look good.
Lighting. We've got that lighting.
You sound surprised.
Wow, we want to have a little chat with you. But before we do, do you mind if we just do some quick fire questions just to get us warmed up?
Sure.
So
it's a little foreplay before the interview, babe.
Oh my gosh, always good.
Yeah, who doesn't love foreplay, eh? So we've got some quick fire questions. So we just want you to give a quick answer to some of these things. So the first one we've got is date night in or date night out?
Date night in.
Kissing or cuddling?
Ooh, cuddling first.
giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Oh, I'm going to say meeting in person, but I can't make the apps work.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh, that's not fair. Dream job.
Nice. Chat up line or straight to the point?
Oh, chat up line.
Nice. Big spoon or little spoon?
Little spoon.
Single or taken?
Single.
Good, perfect. What a way to get into this then. So our topic today is single life. CC is in a very happy relationship. I'm as single as they come.
See, so dating apps, right? They don't work though, do they?
Well,
kicked off of one.
You got kicked off of one?
Yeah, I don't know what I did. I was on it. I was only on it for 2 days. It was going really well. People were talking to me, sending me messages, and I was like, going to get, you know, I was getting rid of everybody who was inappropriate, and then I was going to sit down and start communicating. And then luckily someone had WhatsApped me, had put their phone number in the messaging part to say, you know, if you want to just talk on WhatsApp rather than here. But he wasn't responding on the app. So I was like, why aren't you talking to me? And he said, oh, it said you deleted your account, but I didn't actually delete it.
Oh, this happened to me. So it might be, yeah, I think someone, if you're in, you're a celebrity, people know who you are and they think that you're catfishing. So they report you to the app and then the app deletes you. That's what happened to me twice.
Oh my God. I mean, okay, I feel better now, even though that's horrible, because they've been really cute. You know, I was really surprised at the quality. I was like, oh my gosh.
What app was it?
The Hinge.
That's the one I got picked off.
I had 55 guys that I was like, I would actually like to meet these people. I couldn't
believe 55 of them?
55. Well, you know, I was whittling away the ones that were just too young, but not just deleting. I was saying, you're so cute, but you're too young for me. You know, I was doing it nicely. And a few people were coming back saying, well, I don't mind if you don't mind. And I was like, I mind. I could be your mom.
So how do you whittle people down then? This is going to be interesting. How does Sunita whittle down the people she wants to talk to the people she doesn't? What's your criteria?
Well, you've got to be an adult.
Okay.
That's always a good start.
Always a good start. But when I'm an adult, not just like 18, you've got to be like not young enough to be my child. You have to ideally be London-based, because I am. Yeah. Although I don't mind if you've got a country pad, that would be nice.
So at the minute we're going with age and location are important.
Age and location are good. You've got to be taller than me in heels, so that means at least 6 foot.
Yeah,
right, like at least 6 foot.
I like a big heel, although I don't know if I can even walk in them now.
I'm ticking 2 out of 3 boxes so far.
Yeah, but how old are you? You look 12.
I'll take that all day long. I'm 32. Oh, look at the puppy.
Isn't she cute?
Hey, you've got loads in common. Isn't that a thing for you?
I'm dog obsessed, yeah. I've got two here.
I mean, this is the thing. Have you been on the Hinge?
I've not been on Hinge, no.
Okay, don't go on the Hinge, because we don't need it now. Look at us.
No, we don't need it. I mean, I can't find you on it anyway. We'll just go straight to WhatsApp, babe.
Straight to WhatsApp, babe.
Yeah, lovely.
I'm just going to sign out and let you two have a little chat.
So what does single life mean for you then, Sunita? Tell us about being single and being Sunita.
Well, it's been great for a few years.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of over it. I think lockdown, because now I'm forced to be single rather than by choice. I think I sort of realized it would have been much nicer, I think, to be in lockdown with someone, especially this last one. The first one I was great, you know, it was all about me without feeling guilty. I was watching TV, you know, inappropriate hours and all that stuff. This time, Pete, oh my gosh, it's just boring.
I do kind of agree with you. I do know what you mean.
So when was the last time you were in a relationship?
So awful. I didn't realize until lockdown. 5 years.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because I broke up with someone, but they still lived with me, even though we'd broken up. But not, we weren't friends with benefits. We were properly separated.
That must be hard.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it probably was. It probably wasn't a good idea, but it just made sense at the time because it was easier for them and all of that. And then I was so happy being single that time just kind of flew. And then just when I was tired of being single, we had lockdown.
So other than the apps, what was your, so say before lockdown, what were you doing to find men? How would you do that?
Well, people were introducing me. Because I thought that would be the only way. I never thought I'd use a dating app because I thought it would just be ridiculous. I'd just get idiots playing tricks on me. So I was being introduced by friends who'd say, oh, I know someone you'd like or someone who'd like you. So that was nice a couple of times. I must admit, the people that I met were a bit too old for me, even though they weren't old biologically too old, but physically, mentally, like really set in their ways and just kind of a bit. And it made me feel old because I was thinking, wow, is this what I get now?
Interesting.
That put me off. And then I went to that club. Oh, what's the place? The Chilton Firehouse.
Yeah.
And I met this really cute boy. But I mean, he was gorgeous, like, you know, model cute. And we were just talking and I was giving him a ride home. It was really completely innocent, even though I've been drinking tequila. And I was like, okay, well, where are you going? You're going to Battersea. I'm going to film. I'll drop you off on the way. And we started kissing in the cab. This guy must have been about 25. The kissing was really nice, but so inappropriate. And I remember being outside of my head at the same time thinking, this is ridiculous, but it's quite nice to be kissing someone.
Yeah.
And then as I was dropping him off, I decided to drop him off first because I didn't want him to know where I lived, because he was saying things to me like, you know, if you ever just want to shag, you know, give me a call and all this stuff. And I was like,
I mean, that's straight to the point,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, respect that hustle.
Yep. Exactly. I was like, you know, fair enough. You know, I'm kissing you in the back of the cab. I don't really know you. So I said, you know, I'm going to drop you off first because I didn't want him to know where I lived. And then, you know, his parting words were still that. And I said how good he smelled. This is how the conversation started. When I got home, he'd slipped his bottle of cologne into my handbag.
Okay.
So that was quite nice as well.
That's quite smooth, you know.
Isn't it
nice? But he was 25. Like, if he had been himself, like, 25 years later, that would be it.
Yeah, but age is just a number. I think people put too much on it. As long as they're not actually kids, then it's about how someone makes you feel, isn't it?
But the problem is I have teenage children. So I adopted two children who are now 14. I just think my daughter, she's sassy and sarcastic enough without being. Yeah.
So what would you say then? I mean, are you happy being single? You've been single for 5 years, despite the lockdown, which has made you kind of think maybe it would have been nicer to be in lockdown with someone else. But we are going to come out of lockdown. So are you happy being single, or are you actively wanting to be in a relationship?
I think I'm actively wanting to be in a relationship, but I'm also quite scared because I've been single for so long and I didn't realise how long it had been, that I am kind of used to being on my own. So I think it would be a bit much to be suddenly in a full-on whole thing, which is why I think the sort of gradual, like, I don't know if I have to be married again and all those things.
Do you feel pressure about being in a relationship?
Not really, except a lot of my single girlfriends are avidly dating and they think I'm a prude, they think this, they think that. But meanwhile, I'm spending quite a lot of time mopping up their tears. Oh, you know, we went out twice and he said this and then he didn't call, or then he disappeared, or we had dinner, or I slept with him and then he didn't call me. So, you know, they're not actually doing that brilliantly, but they think that I'm, you know, not getting any younger and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, look, I would like to be with someone, but I'm not going to be with just anybody just to not be with someone.
Yeah.
I'm happy. But it would be great to have that lovely companion and to go out to dinner and, you know, when you have dinner parties, to have that partner kind of doing, you know, I am very, you know, social. I like to do things.
Sociable, yeah. You're a social butterfly, babe.
Yeah, work out even, watch movies together.
Yeah, there's different ways to work out when you're in a relationship, isn't there?
That's what I'm saying. And you can, and I'm the type that I can only do it in a relationship.
So yeah.
So I need that.
Do you think that you have been in love before? And if so, how many times?
I think I have been in love 3 times.
Cece, what about you?
Once.
I don't think I've ever properly been in love.
Never, ever, ever.
Don't think so.
What about puppy love?
What, when I was really, really young. But I don't think that's love. I don't think that's what my idea of love is.
Were you feeling like the world had ended when it broke up?
Well, no, most of the time it's my fault. So, no, do you know what it is? I think that's the beautiful thing about hindsight is when you look back on things, confusing being in love with loving someone and having an obsession and a lust for someone is very, very different. So I think I thought I was in love at times, but actually looking back, it probably wasn't love. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think if you can still look back on something and believe you're in love, then you probably were in love. But I think when a bit of time kind of clears and you kind of get yourself back to normal and you look back on things, sometimes your idea of what you thought you were in is very different to what you were actually in.
Yeah. I also think that when if you've been in love with someone, that you'll always care, that you always still love them, even though you're not in love with them anymore, but you always care about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's not as important. You know, it's not that you hate them or anything, but it's kind of, you know, it's done.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that's the differentiation. I think that is me understanding what love is knowing that you can be away from somebody and there's like a transition of being in love and then loving somebody. And then when you've stopped being in love, sadly, that's obviously when things break down, but you can still walk away and say, I love that person. I still love an ex. You know, I think he's brilliant. I'm not in love with him, but I just respect him and love him for the person that he was with me. But I couldn't say that about all my exes for sure. Even though I would have said the words, I love you. Because in the moment and in those, you know, that time, you think, oh, I'm in love. And then you step away and think, wow, that you didn't deserve that because now I know what love is. You did, didn't deserve it.
I think that's the thing with love. It's such a dangerous game, isn't it? Because you can tell someone you love them. And at that moment, you may actually believe that.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case, and things tend to get a bit dangerous when proper love starts getting involved. That's probably why I've been single so much. I still can't believe you've both been kicked off a dating app.
And the same one.
Wow. What I would say though is when I got reinstated, finally,
Did you fight it then, Cece?
I was doing a podcast. I was actually on Fubar and I was moaning about it going, oh, you know, I've been kicked off Hinge, blah, blah, blah. And then Hinge obviously heard and then sent me a message saying, we're so, so sorry. We reinstated your membership. Oh. And then the guy that I'm with now is from Hinge. So it
Stop
does.
It. Oh, wait, let's make more fuss. So meanwhile, Hinge threw me off the app.
Yeah, come on, let's really.
Hinge, if you're listening, right, we want a reinstation.
Anita, back on.
Never been so upset in my life.
How do you think dating has changed kind of over the years? Because I think dating's changed massively in the last 5 years, massively, especially now that you've got so many apps online, you've got this lockdown, a lot of people have been doing Zoom dating and all that sort of stuff. And gone are the days, like even, you know, when I was younger, where you'd go out and you'd meet someone on a night out and you'd swap numbers and then you'd go on a date. Everything seems to be done. Everyone meets everyone online on Instagram or whatever else. And I think some of the magic of dating's actually gone.
Thing is, I haven't been on a date with anyone from an app yet. If lockdown hadn't happened, I don't think I ever would have even, you know, investigated a dating app.
Even pre-lockdown or pre-apps, did the majority of people that you met, you said were through people that you knew, did you have people sliding in your DMs, like on social media? Did you ever do that?
No, I did have a few people sliding a few things that were really that I didn't know how to get rid of, you know, when you're just like, okay. And so they kept sending me more and more. And then finally I told someone and they were like, oh, it's just, and they just took it and did something and blocked it. And that was that. I always think that they're going to be like weirdos.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing. If you don't, if you meet someone online, whether it be through DM sliding or an online app or whatever, there is always that kind of fear that it's a catfish or it could be someone that you completely different to what you expect, which is why I think some of the magic of dating is gone. I miss going into a bar and chatting someone up.
Mm. No, in my day, we used to go to clubs dancing. You sort of went out and it was like, and that was how you met people, even like friends and a whole like sort of social circle. And there don't seem to be clubs that, are there clubs? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just don't know them.
Well, when everything opens up again, I'll take you to a club.
Do you think anything at a club?
Yeah, don't you listen? Don't worry, I've got a few places I can take you.
Wow.
But I miss the whole, because even now, if you go out, and it's happened to me before, if you go out and you might start speaking to someone, you don't really swap numbers or chat someone up. People will then find you on social media, message you, but have not said anything when they've seen you. Does that make sense? Oh. Cece, have you ever had that?
No. Well, probably years ago, but no, not anything to like, not regularly.
It's like being single just isn't as fun anymore because it's all done virtually. Everything I feel like is done virtually.
I see what you're saying now.
So if you're out in a bar, you may see, you know, a girl across the bar and you think, oh, she's lovely looking. And if you end up like booting off or whatever else, you'll get a message from that person on social media, but they never said anything when you were there. Does that make sense?
Mm. Oh, is that how it works? So why? Is it like uncool to sort of...
No, I miss being able to go and talk to people, and I will always do that. If I'm out and I like the look of someone and I want to say hello, then I will do so. But people don't seem to do that anymore. A lot of my mates do the same thing. They'll see someone, they'll be like, oh, sorry, I'll send her a message on Instagram later.
But how why? Do you why? Know the name?
I mean, everyone knows everyone these days, babe.
Wow.
Everyone, that if you want to know someone, then it's very easy to find out who they are.
Really?
Yeah.
What is there like an ID sort of app that you can put up and it shows you?
No, but that's a really good idea.
Okay, let's get it. Let's do it. Let's
we may have created a new app here.
Mm, just face identity. Because if they can, your phone recognises your face, doesn't it?
Oh, look what we're getting onto here.
Have you ever approached somebody in a bar? Mm. Or anywhere? Have you ever someone you fancy?
I mean, not really. Okay, once when I was judging a disco championship years and years ago in the Hippodrome, there was a guy from Switzerland who won. And I did kind of let him know that I thought he was cute. But do you know what I used to do? I used to go up to people and say, would you like to dance for me?
Would you like to dance for me?
Yes, I'd put them in the show.
Oh, so okay.
All the dancers that dance for me, all boys that I fancy.
Nice. I like that. That's smooth.
Yeah.
That's quite a good way to do it. I like that.
Why dancer? Is there something about, because they say, don't they, that if you're a good dancer, then you're probably good in the bedroom. Is there anything for you? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but the thing is, because I was a dancer when I was younger, so I sort of grew up at the Pineapple Studios in Covent Garden, was used to that. But I always had like male dancers on stage with me on tour.
So, got it.
You know, I think it's the thing actually, because if you look at the Spice Girls, remember when they were all dating their
dancers? Yes, their didn't Emma Bunton marry her dancer?
Yeah. Neil B did as well. And I think, you know, yeah, I think it's a thing.
It's a thing,
you
know, yeah.
You don't get to meet any other guys though, because when you're touring around, you know, your security, the producers, the managers and everything, you're kind of into the venue, you do your gig and then they sort of take you back to the hotel or wherever. So you're not hanging out really. So you only get to know the people you're on tour with.
Do you find it really hard to date being in the public eye and kind of really high profile? Does that make it harder for you dating wise?
I'm not sure. I mean, you would think it would make it easier, wouldn't you? Because believe people know, they either like you or they don't, or they what they think they know of you, they either know, like, oh, you know, I like Sunita, I think she's cute, or God, I can't stand Sunita. So that bit's already done. I mean, but maybe, I don't know.
Do you think when you're in that kind of, that industry of being in the public eye and being around those, that's why a lot of people end up dating celebrities, because they understand and they're the type of people that are in your vicinity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, probably those are the people you meet most.
Yeah.
But I have never actually.
Because you've had some very high profile romances with a lot of women are very jealous of you, let's be honest. You ain't messed about, have you, babe?
But the funny thing is, for example, Simon was not famous when I was dating Simon.
Mm.
Remember, Simon became famous when he did American Idol, when he'd already done everything. He wasn't even successful when I first met him. And then even Brad, he was a jobbing actor, but he wasn't a famous actor.
Just a beautiful man.
Just so a beautiful man.
Oh, you know,
that's yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah. But it might make a difference. Might make a difference now because people have their preconceptions, don't they?
Yeah. Do you think people are intimidated by you?
I don't think so, because I think I come across as quite approachable. You know, I'm quite petite, so I'm not sort of scary looking. I don't know, but maybe people think that I'm a diva. Maybe people, or people think, oh, she only dates really successful, wealthy guys. Because Simon and Brad have blown up so big, you know?
Do you think it's hard for a guy then, because you have some well-documented exes who are very high profile, do you think blokes are intimidated by that?
Maybe people that are serious. I think people who are just sort of chance as players would sort of, you know.
The sort of guys that slip after shave into your bag and ask you if you want to shag.
Exactly, if you ever want to shag. but maybe, I don't know. I think I need to be in more sort of adult company. I just where would you go, Cece, if you wanted to meet someone? Where would you go? I wouldn't even know where to go to meet someone, you know?
The people I used to meet when it was out was just normal places, pubs. But the last couple of guys I've dated have both been from dating apps. And one of them was introduced to me before. So I kind of had met him on the dating app and then he was intro. So it was kind of like a safety net. Like you said, people intro you and then you're like, okay, we passed the like tick. They're not crazy.
Yes.
I love a referral because then you know that.
Referral.
You can do your background check. But yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? It's really challenging, actually. I don't think it's easy for either, whether you're in the limelight or you're not. It's still challenging to find trying to meet your life partner. It's a big thing.
I had this thing where I thought because of the dating app thing, that if I met somebody that I'd be able to get more information, because I'd be able to say, look, you know, it's a bit sort of unequal leverage here because it's easy for you to find out everything you want about me, et cetera, et cetera. So give me more information about you before we meet as well. Like we could use that to our advantage. So I thought that was...
What were you looking for? National insurance number, that sort of stuff?
Exactly. But, you know, of course I got spat out before. I was only on it for 3 days. And really nice.
After this, you'll be back. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're going to try and rectify that for you. Hinge, if you're listening.
Yeah, or I'll go.
Sunita's game.
I use your telephone number to go in.
Sunita, we want to play a game with you, if that's all right. We two truths and one lie. So we're going to ask of you is if you can tell us three stories and one of them is a lie. And Pete and I are going to guess which one the lie is. We get a question each per story. So go for it.
We're going to get our detective hats on now.
I know. Oh, where's my pen? I like making notes. It makes me feel important.
You took the piss out of me the first week we did this for taking notes. And now look at you.
You took the piss out of me because I had a notepad.
Okay. I once went on a date with a guy who bought me in an auction. So the date was a prize in the auction.
Okay.
He was so nervous during the dinner that I spent the entire evening holding his hands on the table to calm his nerves.
Wow, he sounds brilliant.
I bet that was attractive for you.
Yeah, sweaty palms. Okay, I went on a date with someone who I'd said I was a lookalike to because I thought that they obviously knew that I was me.
Go on, carry on.
Okay, so I told them I was a lookalike. He spent the entire evening teasing me with Sunita jokes and saying how much I looked like me.
Oh my goodness.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
I love that.
I went on a date with a guy who actually is now a good friend, who talked to me charmingly for 10 minutes and then put on his glasses to read the menu and screamed loudly, "Oh my God, you're black."
Right, okay, all right, three stories, interesting. Cece, do you want to go with your first question for story number one, which is the auction date?
Okay, so sweaty palm boy, where was the auction?
It was I'm not sure where it was, but it was in the West End somewhere, and it was for Macmillan's.
Thank you.
Okay, My question on that story one was, how much did he pay for you?
not enough. I can't actually remember, but, you know, it was decent.
Okay, all right. Story number two.
Story number two, where was the date?
A little restaurant in Parsons Green.
Lovely, I love Parsons Green. Do you think that he was just winding you up, or do you think he genuinely believed you were a lookalike?
I don't know. That's what was so weird, because, you know, when you sort of think, is this just the banter? But I must admit, it did get to the point where I was a bit kind of, you know, forcing the laugh.
I think that's such a good story. I love that. Question three for story three.
Did you stay on the day after his comment?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, I laughed my head off. it was just so funny, but it was the fact that he shouted out so loudly that I was sort of looking around thinking, oh my, like, you know, he was not embarrassed at all.
So you're still friends with this guy. How long ago was this date?
Oh gosh, 25 years ago.
Wow, okay, all right, fine. Cece, which one do you think is a liar?
I'm gonna go with number two, lookalike.
I mean, for me, I've done an auction date before. I went on a date with someone, so I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I agree with you, Cece. I reckon it's number two. Surely no one believed you were a lookalike. So is that the liar?
Am I supposed to tell you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that right?
I'm a liar. I thought I did that so well.
You did.
You did do it really well, but that would honestly, I mean, I just can't imagine anyone not believing that it's you. That would be such a good story, though. Cece, I think we should try that sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love it.
I think that's a great idea.
It was nearly true because I did that show, The First Dates.
I've done it as well, Celebrity First Dates.
Yeah, and the guy that they matched me with on that, he had said to them, when they said, what's your type? He said, oh, you know, someone like Sunita. So when I came in, he genuinely didn't know that it was me. And halfway through the dinner, because he said to me, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a singer. And he was like, okay. He told me what he did. And then a bit further into the conversation, he said, so where do you sing? What do you do? Like gigs, like pub gigs, this, that, and the other. And that's when I did, that's where I got the idea from. And I realized that he hadn't realized that I was me. And so I said, well, you know, I used to be a pop star, and sometimes I sing in stadiums, sometimes I do gigs. It could be Butlins, it could be anywhere, you know, private ventures and everything. And he literally, his face caved in. You can see the episode, and he's like, oh.
So I love that.
Anita, and he actually hadn't realized until we were, and, you know, my Twitter went mad. They were like, ha ha, did he recognize you, blah, blah, blah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Celebrity First Dates? Cece is, I mean, that is Cece's game. Cece is.
I know. I didn't serve you. I served you, Pete, didn't I? But I didn't get to serve you, Sunita. I think
were you there when I came in?
Yeah. I've done it now for 7 years, so I'm fine.
Oh, so you're always there?
Yeah. And yes, when we're filming, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But you weren't my table, so I wouldn't passed. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was genuinely what happened. But I just
I remember it. It was a big thing.
I exaggerated it a bit. Yeah.
Love that though. That's a great story. Imagine. So you said you used your probably. I mean, with like Celeb First Date, they don't know that they're being matched with celebrities, don't they? Do they?
So they don't know that anyway.
But yeah. So he probably just in his wildest dreams didn't think he was going to be sat with Sunita.
He kept saying they've done well. They've done really well. They've done well. And I was like, well. And he said, because I said that I, yeah, and then he just sort of didn't want to insult me by saying, you know, you look
like
her. But he was really sweet. But I thought there were so many giveaways because there were other people in the restaurant and we kept saying hello to each other. So I was like, oh.
I remember this. Yeah. Everybody was talking to you.
He just thought, well, how come you know, and he was recognizing the other people. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so from the X Factor. And he
was like, oh. Funny. Well, Sunita, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We've really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much. We're going to try and get you your Hinge back up and running.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. I bought roses and everything.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to
thank
meet you.
Thank you.
Goodbye, my love.
Sunita. Take care.
Yeah, I'll give you a bell. Don't worry, babe. I've got it. Take care, my love.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, you're sorted.
There we go. You heard it here first.
Gosh, that's all we need to do is just get a single guest on every week and then just, you know.
Yeah. If anyone asks me what the best dating app is, I'm going to say FUBAR Radio.
100%.
This is kind of, other than our fabulous guests, our favourite part of the show, isn't
it? Yes, listening, questions, listening, advice. Here comes us. Is that what we're doing?
It is exactly what we're doing, babe. You've got it. Are you a bit shell-shocked after Sunita?
That's what it is. It's got me. I have no idea what we're doing now.
She's also got me, and I cannot wait. I can't wait for our date.
Trust me, she'll be reinstated with Hinge now. They will. I mean, if they did it for me, they're going to do it for her.
Well, listen, if we've managed to do that, then, I mean, if she does meet someone, then technically she should thank us.
Boom.
See, the dating show, we are now matchmaking as well. All right.
Yes.
It's just another string to our bow. What can't we do? So let's see if we can do something for some of our listeners who have sent in some of their dating stories and a little bit of advice. So the first up, we've got a dating story from Sarah.
So I was seeing this guy and we'd been dating for a while, so we decided to take it to the next level. We got back to his and went into the bedroom and obviously started to move things on. And you know that excitement when the guy is getting undressed in front of you and you just can't wait to see what he's hiding between his trousers? Yeah, mine wasn't like that. I wasn't expecting him to be the size of my index finger. But because I liked the guy, I carried on. And safe to say, I wasn't expecting what happened next. When he finished, it sort of tucked in. It hid inside his foreskin. Like,
oh my God.
Disappeared.
Is that it? Oh my God.
Right.
Oh, this is too good. I love it.
Cece, would you like to start with the hiding penis in foreskin story?
I mean, that it is every girl's worst disaster because you see someone, you know, you're dating, you're like, what's going to be under there? And then there, when the disappointment happens, it's sad. It is a sad, sad thing. She was obviously having sympathy sex, which I understand.
Have you done that before then, babe?
No comment, that you were not meant to ask.
So Cece has had sympathy sex before because someone, so anyone that is listening that may have slept with Cece, you could be the one with the tiny dick.
Just that one. Oh God, the good thing I'm in a relationship, isn't it? How do you feel about Sarah's story? No, let's put it back on you.
Listen, do you know what? I mean, it's unfortunate. An index finger is, you know.
She said hers. That's
her index finger. Yeah. Listen, it's not always the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean. But you do need to feel the boat in the pool. Do you know what I mean? So, but
I think the shriveled up part after is, I mean,
that's the bit. That's what. That's the thing. I think the shriveled up bit after, sort of like a tortoise just going back into his shell, made me feel a little bit sick. But, you know, interesting.
Right, let's go with dating advice. So this is from Lauren. This is Lauren.
Hi, I just want some advice on how to date during the COVID and pandemic, because there's not really any point having Tinder or all these dating apps if you can't actually see someone. It's like, hi, oh, we're a match. Oh, can we meet? Oh, no, we'll get a fine. Oh, and we might catch COVID and die. So how do people date during the pandemic and COVID? And how do we avoid getting into a texting thing? So like a pen pal. Please give some tips on how to do this.
Very good question.
Lauren's quite lucky though, because we're coming to the end of it.
You are coming to the end. I think dating, obviously everyone's had to learn how to date differently during a pandemic, but and it is shit if you want to see someone and you can't. But I do think it's a really good opportunity for people to actually build more meaningful connections with people based on the fact that you can't see them. Because if you do, you know, normally if you go on a date and you go on a first date or a second date, if you do fancy the person, there is the urge to just fuck them. And sometimes by that point, you may get things out of your system without actually getting to know that person properly. Whereas actually when you can't do that, all you're left with is talking to someone. So I think there's an opportunity for people to actually make more of a connection by doing that. And you also, you can make online dating or virtual dating fun. Do you know what I mean? Like little date nights where you both sit and have a dinner together or whatever else, or
I do think that there's loads of things you can do. Like you said, like get creative. Like it shows personality, doesn't it, when you're doing like, let's...
I think you get to learn more about someone's personality when, you know, when shit hits the fan and you can't see someone, how are they going to keep the interest there? And also, listen, with FaceTime and all that sort of stuff, you can get a bit naughty on FaceTime.
Yeah.
It keeps the blood flowing.
There's loads of things you can do on FaceTime.
Like what, CC? Tell us.
You can bake cakes on FaceTime. You can paint pictures together. There's loads of things you can do.
Yeah, you can finger yourself on FaceTime. You can have a wank on FaceTime. If you are looking at, you know, and you can't see someone and you want to keep that blood flowing, you can do all that sort of stuff. It sort of adds to the kind of tease and the build-up, doesn't it?
I was trying to be so above the line on this one, but it's just clearly not gone there.
You're 3 weeks in, CC. I don't understand why you're trying to stay above the line with me.
Trying to give this woman some advice here, and now we're talking about penises and fingering and
but it's true though, the dating stage of stuff, you can do all the, you know, just bake a cake together and you can have them kind of days. But I think trying to keep that going when you can't see someone and you want to move things further, you can do that in a way that makes it a bit teasy, that creates and builds to when you actually do get a chance to see someone, because sex and chemistry and all that sort of stuff is a really important part of a relationship, and that's how you stop it becoming pen pally. You're going to have to start doing the sexting type stuff and all that sort of shit, because that's what differentiates you from just having a chat with one of your mates. So as much as I'm taking a piss, like that is it, you do have to kind of go down that route at the minute because we don't have a choice. And then that build up and that kind of, it's a foreplay in a way, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, God, yeah, when you know you're going to get the real thing, it's like, definitely. I think it's, yeah.
And also, I think people can be, when you talk about sex with someone, you get a good idea, I think, of what they're potentially going to be like.
Well, I do.
Do you disagree?
I used to think that way, but I also... What
you've
men
experienced,
do, different. What men do is they turn up as the best version of themselves. Brilliant, thank you for doing that. You know, showing an effort, as do women. But I have found that men, I'm really generalizing,
talk a good game,
and then you know, what they were at the start is not who they are 3 months down the line, and you think, well, you said you were like this, and this is why we're together. We've done our love languages, and we've done all these things to kind of like understand where we're at. And they're not that. So I do, what I would say when you're dating in lockdown is have a break. I think more than anything, take a break, because once you get to that point where you're over it, that is the energy you're giving out. So if you're turning up like, oh, yeah, next, swipe, like turn up to say, hey, yeah, I've already had this conversation with Derek yesterday. That is fully what Derek is getting, or whoever the next guy is. So
negative energy.
Yeah, if you're not in the mood, don't do it. Wait until you start feeling a bit better about you and you're ready to do it again. Because if you turn up like that, I wouldn't want to date someone who's already over me because they've dated, you know, been on 10 Zoom dates that week. I would know that from their energy.
I think a lot of that, like you said, take a break. Obviously, listen, a lot of people are bored in lockdown. We're all struggling sometimes for things to do or ways to entertain ourselves because we can't go out and do different things. Flicking through dating apps and online dating, as much as that's enjoyable, when you continually do it out of boredom, I think you actually don't give yourself the opportunity to find someone properly, because you're doing something out of boredom and rather than, like you say, actually wanting to meet someone. So you're giving a version of yourself, which is that I have nothing else to do other than talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the way to meet someone.
Boom. Should we end it on that?
I think we should. I've had a fabulous day.
I've had a fabulous day as well, as always.
As always. We are the dream team now, aren't we?
We are. Let's try and match again next week. I almost miss it. I feel like we're not connected in the way we usually are.
I know. You just feel so far away from me, and I hate that. But thank you to Sunita for being our wonderful guest today. Lovely little insight. We're going to hopefully get her back on Hinge. Hopefully not too soon, though, because I've arranged a date with her for when lockdown is over.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So look forward to that one. We'll do a recap with her so she can tell you how bad my date was. But yeah, and also for everyone else, you download the app so you can listen each week and follow us on social media. We're at FUBAR Radio on all platforms.
Pete Wicks, namaste.
Cece Coleman, namaste. We will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.